This is St. Louis Public Radio. The 2014 death of Michael Brown brought thousands of people into the streets of Ferguson to protest police brutality and a justice system that targeted minorities. This week, protesters returned to mark the death of George Floyd at the hands of Minneapolis police. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lippman has more on the protest environment 6 years later.
Last Saturday, Rasheen Aldridge once again found himself with a bullhorn in his hand, addressing a crowd of hundreds about a black man killed by police.
We tired.
Yes.
It's a simple message. It's not hard to understand. We tired of people of our colors being killed in our streets by police brutality.
Aldridge couldn't legally drink when he made a name for himself during weeks of demonstrations that followed Brown's death. He's since added a big title, state representative, but remains a key protest organizer. He told St. Louis on the air that he wasn't surprised by the need to be back on the streets.
Our communities have not seen the dramatic change and policy change when you're talking about shifting power, education, and engagement to communities that have been left out for a long time.
Tony Rice, who has lived in Ferguson for nearly 20 years, also returned to the streets after Floyd's death, driven by a dominant feeling of sadness.
I'm just sad for him. I'm sad for his family. I'm sad he had to experience that while everybody just stood back and watched.
Rice spent much of 2014 and beyond documenting protests via live stream. The solidarity is the same now as it was then, he says, even as the crowds are younger, fearless, and a bit angrier. But he's also noticed another big difference.
I've seen the police response being more poised, to be honest. I've witnessed someone intentionally try to get arrested, and they would not arrest them. When in 2014, we saw people randomly getting arrested just for walking up and down the street.
One thing that hasn't changed is the rhythm of the days. In the light, thousands take to the streets in nonviolent marches. But after the sun goes down, businesses have been looted or damaged, and there's often gunfire. Earlier this week, a retired black police officer was shot and killed while trying to defend a friend's pawn shop in North St. Louis, and four on-duty officers were shot and injured. It's infuriating for activists like Aldridge.
I know how things can get turned in light and making it seem like it was either the people that organized it or the bigger message gets taken off of, you know, all the hard work and more focus on some of the burning and some of the vandalism and a death.
In Ferguson, a crowd shot fireworks at officers stationed outside the police department's headquarters, injuring several. They also broke some of the building's windows. It's a logical place to protest Floyd's death. The Ferguson police and municipal government are powerful symbols of a system that targeted and harmed black people. Community leaders like Annette Jenkins understand the anger.
I know the pain, you know, but what's that gonna do us? Because then we have to rebuild all over again.
Due to federally mandated reforms, the city is actually making progress, Jenkins says. Almost all of the officers are new. She helped hire most of them.
They have listened to us. We said we don't want them. They don't hire them.
Rice has also done a lot of work with the groups set up by the consent decree. But he says most of the progress has been behind the scenes.
6 years later, we have this, and we have nothing demonstrable to show them, hey, we've made progress.
Lots may have changed on paper, but he says you can't show paper to protesters. I'm Rachel Lippman. St. Louis Public Radio.